Morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this absolutely glorious morning that the Lord has given to us today. I would like to first ask for Lori Cummings to come forward and give us a few announcements.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the Fellowship Committee, I want to invite everyone to game night on Tuesday night. It's at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Bring a snack to share. We're going to play games. Whatever you bring is what we're going to play. So if you have one that's a favorite and you want to teach some people something new, there'll be dominoes, cards, and whatever you bring. And we would love to have you as part of it. Children are welcome. If you have small babies that would be better in the nursery, just let Sue know in the office, and we can make arrangements for child care. And it's just a really good, fun time to get together and learn something new and keep our brains active. So everybody's welcome, and we'd love to have you. Also, while I'm standing here, I want to let everyone know that Trunk or Treat is a little bit different this year. Instead of doing it on Sunday, we're going to do it on Saturday evening from 5:30 to 7:30 on the 29th. So as you're decorating the house, be looking at things and picking out things that you want to put in your trunk. And by all means, we would love to have you come and decorate your trunk and pass out candy for the neighborhood kids. This is such a great opportunity for us to invite the community to be part of what we do here, and I just would love to see a great turnout. If you have any questions about that, you can contact me, and it's going to be a great October. Thanks.
Thank you, Lori. Well, today is World Communion Sunday. And global peace, too, okay? And that, therefore, we have the different kinds of breads today. We have some extra breads that will be available in the Narthex after the worship service, if you'd like to pick up some. Also, the Centering Prayer Group is going to meet on Tuesday, the 4th, at 5:30, right before the game night, it will be about 45 minutes of devotion and prayer in the parlor, and game night will be in the fellowship hall. Brown Bag Bible Study will be on Wednesday in the parlor at noon, during the lunch hour, so bring your lunch if you'd like to. Or you can call the church office and get the Zoom link if you want to join the Bible study through Zoom. The East Texas Children's Choir is going to have late registration and their first rehearsal on Tuesday night, the 4th, at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And the meeting of the first meeting of the PELC Mardi Gras Fundraiser Committee is going to be at 5:30 on Wednesday, the 5th, in the parlor. Anyone who would like to help with this fundraiser is welcome to come. Also, at the end of this month, church is sponsoring an art show for all of our members or our friends or whomever, and it will be in the Narthex. So be thinking of some art projects that you have done in the past or recently or whatever, and speak to Gladys. You can speak to Gladys about it. She's heading up the art show, and it will start on the last Sunday of this month, October 30th, isn't it? Yeah, October 30th. So you'll have to come bring your stuff up here to be hung before that. And I believe that is all of the announcements that I have.
Show is gratitude. Is that right? So that's, I did want to emphasize that it's not just an excuse to put on an art show. We're doing it. Anything that is something you're grateful for. Let's begin our service with prayer. God of all the ages, you have revealed your grace in our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we wait patiently on your mercies, strengthen our faith, that with open hearts we may hear and accomplish your will, through Christ who lights the way to life everlasting. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Our faith may be small. Our sins may loom large,
but God's promise of forgiveness is sure.
Trusting that God is able to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 310, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord.
Bless me.
occasionally. Set the cross is where it belongs.
There he is. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Come, Holy Spirit, shine your light on this God's word, that we might see what you would have us to see, hear what you would have us to hear, and do what you would have us to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. I'm going to be reading the scripture, the first lesson from 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 14, and it's found on page 211 of your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was anointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasures entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
Join me up front. Sloan. Hey, Rob. Hey, Lane. Hey. You know, in the scripture that was just read, Paul is talking to a young person who's going to be a leader in the church, Timothy. And one of the things he's saying is that he trusts God even when bad things happen. You know, one thing about having faith in God Some people, when something bad happens to them, says, well, God didn't stop that from happening, so I don't have faith in God anymore. That's not the way it works. You know, did you notice that when she was reading the scripture, Paul said he was in prison and that he was suffering? Wow. And yet he was saying that he trusted God. Even though he was in prison, he was suffering. So that's something that you can always remember. That if something bad happens to you, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you and that God isn't with you when that bad thing happens. Okay? That's an important thing to always remember. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so grateful that you love us and you are always with us, even when bad things happen. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up. What's your lammy's name? reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning with verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from the plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves, and we have done only what we ought to have done.'" The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the outset, it's interesting to note what causes the disciples to ask for more faith. Jesus has just told them in verse 4, if the same person sins against you 7 times in the same day and turns back to you 7 times and says, "I repent," you must forgive. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiving someone who repeatedly does the same thing is even harder. I don't know about you, but I can relate to the disciples asking for more faith to carry out that requirement. How can I possibly forgive such a person? I must need more faith. That was what the disciples were probably thinking. The first thing that jumps out at me about today's scripture is that the disciples are asking Jesus to increase their faith. Now think about that for a minute. Why are they asking Jesus for faith? Don't we usually think of faith as something we do in response to Jesus? They're asking for more faith because faith is a gift of God. By asking Jesus for more faith, the disciples are recognizing that faith comes from God. That should help take the pressure off. God gives us the task and the faith to perform it. You would think asking for more of a good thing would be a good thing, right? But Jesus says that it's not how much faith, it's how good or how strong that faith is. Joseph Fitzmyer, in his commentary on Luke, says it this way: Jesus' answer to the request does not really meet it. His words rather put the apostles immediately on the spot. The amount of faith is not important, but the kind of faith that is genuine faith. If it were no bigger than a grain of mustard, yet genuine, it would have wondrous power, end quote. A mustard seed is a very small seed. And we all know that the size of the seed does not determine how big the plant ultimately would be. Right, gardeners? Right? Fred Craddock, in his commentary on Luke, speaks of the Greek construction using the word if. He states that the conditional clause assumes a yes answer. Now, in Greek, there are two different ways that you could ask an if question. And depending on which verb you use, it's whether or not you're expecting to get a yes or a no. It's a rhetorical use. The way it's asked in this particular case, and we don't really see it in English, Jesus is expecting a yes answer. So when Jesus says, if you had faith, there's an implied yes, and you do have faith. Jesus continues by not reprimanding them for the absence of faith, but inviting them to live out the full possibilities of that faith. Craddock goes on to say, quote, faith lays hold of God with whom nothing is impossible. And it is God who empowers the life of discipleship. End quote. Jesus saying that a small amount of faith could speak to a mulberry tree to, quote, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it would obey you, end quote, is also written in the Gospel of Matthew this way, quote, if you say to this mountain, move from here over there, it will be moved and nothing will be impossible to you, end quote. Both are, to say the least, unexpected events. The sayings are meant to say that the result of exercising faith is the ability to do unexpected things. Fitzmyer says it this way: the person with genuine faith would be able to effect things in a manner beyond all expectation, end quote. That reminds me of the elderly lady who demonstrated her faith by standing on the porch and saying loudly, praise the Lord. An elderly lady who was well known for her faith and her boldness kept doing this to the chagrin of the atheist who lived next door, who would get so angry at her proclamations, he would shout back, there ain't no Lord. Hard times set in on the elderly lady, and she prayed for God to send her some assistance. She stood on her porch and shouted, praise the Lord. God, I need food. I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries. The next morning, the lady went out on her porch and noted a large bag of groceries on her doorstep. And she shouted, praise the Lord. The neighbor jumped from behind a bush and said, aha, I told you there ain't no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't. The lady started jumping up and down and clapping her hands and saying, praise the Lord. He not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them. Furthermore, by emphasizing that it's not the amount of faith that makes unlikely things happen, like an atheist buying groceries, but the type of faith that matters, we realize that the exercise of faith does not use up our supply of faith. This is similar to the exercise of love, which does not exhaust our supply of love, but actually increases it. But like love, the quality of the faith matters. Faith that comes from God, that relies on God, can achieve great things because such faith is aligned with God's purposes. When we put our faith in the wrong things, things are not aligned with God's purposes. As you might expect, those things do not succeed. And who is it that should be aligning themselves with God's purpose? Who's Jesus speaking to? He's speaking to disciples. That is us, the saints. Now, the word saint means one who is set aside for God's purpose. Now, while some may think that it's limited to those who are considered particularly holy or devoted to God, like Mother, now Saint Teresa, the term is used in the New Testament only in its plural form to refer to all members of churches who are Christians, consecrated to God through Jesus Christ. See 2 Corinthians 8:4. So guess what? That means you. All of us are called to God's purpose and are recipients of the gift of faith. It's up to us to put that faith to use. Professor Kimberly Bracken Long puts it this way, quote, "You already have the faith you need. Now fulfill its purpose. Live it," end quote. The second part of this passage makes that clear. Jesus, as Jesus is prone to do, uses the illustration of a servant, sometimes translated slave, to illustrate faith. The servant in Jesus' illustration does not do part of the job and then sit down with the master. The servant does the whole job as expected. Fulfilling that duty is reward enough for the servant. Professor Long puts it this way, quote, "We serve God and one another, not for bonus points, and not only because God expects it, but because we know that God has shown us the way to abundant life," end quote. And remember, Jesus not only tells us that being a servant is what it means to be a faithful Christian, he demonstrates it. Remember what Jesus did on the night of his arrest? Yes, he took bread and blessed it. But before that, he took a towel and wrapped it around him. The stole that pastors wear is intended to represent that towel. And then he sat at the feet of the disciples and washed their feet like a servant. In this beautiful, humble example, Jesus shows us what it means to be a servant. Some churches even practice foot washing along with communion. And often foot washing is done on Maundy Thursday in celebration of the first communion when Jesus did this act. Jesus does not ask us to do anything that he himself was not willing to do. The attitude of considering oneself a worthless slave is not intended to induce shame or an unhealthy view of one's self-worth. The attitude is intended to focus on the free gift of God that is not biased and not based on merit. Professor Margit Ernst Habib says it this way, quote, "This passage in Luke indeed denies all human merits," all human claims on God. But the worthless slaves whom we meet here are the very same who receive God's grace in Christ as a gift and an extraordinary recognition of their worth. End quote. This free gift of faith is sufficient because we are called to be who we were created to be. Professor Long concludes, quote, "Faith is not stockpiled in a storehouse for the working of spiritual wonders, but is lived out as obedience to a just and loving God. Trusting in the one with whom we are in relationship, we relinquish any illusions of self-reliance, acknowledging that faith cannot be measured, only enacted." End quote. It is in recognition and remembrance of that reliance on God's free gift of faith and our enactment of our duty that we go to the table. We go to the same table that Jesus invited us to after he demonstrated to us what it means to be a servant. On this World Communion Sunday, let us go to the table not because we must, but because we may. Not because we're deserving, but because we're invited. Let us go to the table remembering our Lord, the great suffering servant, who showed us the way of faith and duty. Amen. So in light of the word proclaimed, note we come to the table because the Lord has invited us. This is not First Presbyterian Church's table. This is not the Presbyterian Church USA's table. This is the Lord's table. And we recognize that particularly on World Communion Sunday. Though different people set different tables in different ways, and we recognize that by looking at bread with a star on it, or bread with a cross on it, or French bread. Many different people use different kinds of bread to celebrate this sacrament, but they're all celebrating the same Lord. So on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread. And after having blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood." As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will the communion servers please come forward? Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes again in final victory. And we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Great is the mystery of faith. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Holy One, we have tasted your goodness and savored your bounty. You have quenched our thirst and filled us with good things. We pray that your life and love in us will overflow, filling the earth with your justice, joy, and peace. Now that we have been fed, may we be bread, feeding your hungry children. Amen. Now please rise as you're able, and let's say together what we believe using the Nicene Creed printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 39, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Oh,
Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. Amen. Seated. Let us pray. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, God our Savior. We pray for the church. Teach us to trust in your saving power, to rely on the gifts of your Holy Spirit, and to be bold in our testimony to the Lord. God, our Savior, we pray for our communities. Restore our abandoned cities, rebuild our ruined neighborhoods, and renew our broken relationships. God, our Savior, we pray for the world. Give us leaders who are committed to doing what is just and right, so that all may live in peace and safety. God, our Savior, We pray for the earth. Bless all the creatures of this, your earth. Make us joyful stewards of your resources. God, our Savior. We pray for loved ones. Comfort those who are suffering or wasting away in their sorrow. Sustain them with your steadfast love. God, our Savior. Merciful and mighty God, as you are one, make us one with you through Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to redeem us, and in whose holy name we pray. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 817. We walk by faith and not by sight. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Exercise the faith you have been given by being the servant you were created to be. Do your duty, knowing that our loving Lord and Savior has given us the faith necessary. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.